Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Who cares if we can carry a tune in a bucket? We have spirit. We've got the chance. We've got some kind of crazy fans that listen to the show, but that is super cool. I love it that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's pull on the pads and hit somebody, shall we? We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We'll have our poll up soon. What's the NFL game you're most looking forward to? We've got some whoppers this weekend. That includes Monday. And in addition, we've got a couple of games among ranked teams in college football as well. I do not care if you go outside the box. In fact, I like it that way. It would be boring if we could all fit inside a box. Man, I've left many a jobs because I didn't fit inside their box. And I didn't conform to the formula. So we don't want you to be the same like everybody else. We want you to think for yourself. So find us on Twitter or Facebook, the game you're looking forward to. And let's talk some football. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We will see a familiar face on the field this weekend in the Cleveland Browns running back, Kareem Hunt. It's been a long time. He's eligible to play again after serving his 8-game suspension. The league deeming that he was worthy of the 8 games, not to mention the time he spent last year on the shelf because he was cut by the Chiefs. So that was their decision. That was not an NFL discipline. But this was for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. And this goes back to a couple of incidents, including the one that was on video in February of 2018 inside a Cleveland hotel where he was living. And he was on camera shoving and kicking a woman. And then there was another fight that he got into with a guy at another establishment. And so the NFL went through those incidents and decided he needed to sit out for half the season. Remember, the Browns signed him knowing that there was likely going to be a suspension. But now here he is, after missing the first half of the year. He could not be anywhere around the team for the first 6 games. But he was allowed to start practicing 2 weeks ago. And here is the 2017 rushing champ who's going to join the Cleveland Browns along with Nick Chubb, who right now is averaging more than 100 yards per game.
So, nerd alert!
Believe it or not, just behind Christian McCaffrey. So you're infusing Kareem Hunt into that backfield. Who knows whether or not he'll be a force when he steps on the field. That's certainly secondary to his personal life and the time that he spent away. And as he was making comments on Thursday, he was talking about the fact that taking football out of his life left him with a void, and that he's had a whole lot of time to think and to reflect. And I suppose a lot of that was about his personal life and his choices, but a lot of it is also, wow, this is my life without football. And I hope, in his case, in the case of other athletes who make really poor choices, heinous decisions, get themselves suspended, or they lose what matters to them, that when they have a second chance, they don't take it for granted because they recognize how quickly it can disappear.
It's like 342 days, you know, I've been counting down, and I'm just excited. A lot of, you know, mixed emotions, high, you know, low. It's going to be a very fun, emotional game, and I'm definitely going to be excited to get out there and, you know, do whatever I can to played a role and helped this team win.
And so it certainly will be interesting to see him back out there on the field. The series of mistakes that he made, well, mistakes, I don't want to call mistake, wasn't an accident, but the series of choices that he made included lying to the Kansas City Chiefs. He admitted that after the fact. He didn't tell them about what really happened in that Cleveland hallway. And because of that, at least according to the Chiefs, they kept him on their roster because they didn't know the full story until the video surfaced. Essentially, he's been out of football for a year. Now, in his case, as a running back, he's had some time with the team to try to get to know the system, but also should be able to step back into it as opposed to having to develop some rhythm and timing. You wouldn't imagine there'd be a whole lot of rust for a running back. So we'll see. But the Browns hosting the Bills this weekend, how will they work him into the rotation, quote unquote? Not the same situation, but a similar challenge for the Los Angeles Chargers when they moved forward without Melvin Gordon. They had a couple of running backs, including Austin Eckler, who started out like a house on fire and then had to figure out a way to get Melvin Gordon back in there. It took a couple of weeks before I think they found that rotation's a weird word, but you understand what I'm saying. That balance. There's a good word. So that's one change we'll see on the field week 10 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It had been a long time since I'd thought about Kareem Hunt, and that's really a product of the fact that in sports, there's always something happening, and there's so many names, and there's so many newsmakers, and there's so many narratives, and there's always something going on. So I hadn't thought about Kareem Hunt in quite a while. I also hadn't thought about Antonio Brown in quite a while. And there he was.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
Nope. There he was on Thursday using his social media to express himself yet again. Do you guys remember going back to April? His now infamous tweet. Keep your emotions off social media. It was my birthday. I'll never forget it. Keep your emotions off social media. And yet he cannot practice what he preaches. It had been so quiet. And I would agree with a couple of you who found us in the last week and a half. Remember, we've talked about surprises in the NFL in the first half of the season. And I don't remember who it was, but one listener posted on Facebook that Antonio Brown's out of football. That is a huge surprise. Think about where we were a year ago with Antonio Brown. Before the frozen feet, before he took himself out of the equation in week 17 and ditched his team, before he requested to be traded, before he got his guaranteed money in Oakland, before that backfired in the Raiders' face, the 11 days in New England, constant social media drama, not to mention the personal issues and problems that is partly why he's in the situation in the first place. I mean, it's been not even a year. And one of the best wide receivers we'd seen over the last decade isn't playing football. He's relegated to screaming and yelling at people on social media, and you know he is. Now here's his impeccable timing yet again. The crux is he's scheduled to meet with NFL investigators in a week. That's coming up next week. And yet he decides Thursday is the right day to pull a Dean Spanos, a profanity-filled tweet. You know I can't read it verbatim, but I can at least give you the gist. Imagine conforming to a system giving it a 100% to see them treat me like this is unfairly. I don't even know what that means. He doesn't like how he's been treated, I think is the paraphrase. Making money off my sweat and blood, bleep the NFL. I'll never play in that bleep, treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go bleep yourself. I mean, I'm assuming that he wrote things out on social media. I just don't understand. I don't understand what goes through his brain. I don't understand why he thinks this is a good idea. I don't understand why he keeps telling anyone who will look at his social media or pay any attention that he's done with football. And then he backtracks hours later.
The guy is drunk.
I guess that's a possibility. Later on Thursday, it's an about face for Antonio Brown yet again. I'm just very frustrated right now with the false allegations and slander to my name. I love football and miss it. I just want to play, and I'm very emotional about that. I'm determined to make my way back to the NFL ASAP. Survey says, I still don't think the NFL. Here's the problem. I don't think the NFL is going to let him come back free and clear because he can't stop. Do you really think the league is not going to see this? A. B. Classify this under the umbrella of behavior detrimental, conduct detrimental. He's making it worse for himself. And if you don't think the NFL is going to consider a tweet in which he says bleep and accuses the league of being racist, you're not paying attention. And clearly Antonio Brown is not paying attention either. Now, according to inside sources, the league has been doing its investigation of Antonio Brown and waiting till it was almost done, until they've gathered as much evidence as they possibly can before interviewing him specifically. And you know, the major reason for the investigation is the lawsuit filed by his former trainer, that accuses him of sexual assault. But there are other strange behaviors. The text messages that he sent harassing and threatening a woman who didn't even identify herself in a Sports Illustrated story, but also talked about his sexual misconduct. He just keeps digging a deeper hole. I'm not to the point where I feel sorry for him. I'll be honest, I don't. But at the same time, I don't understand how he possibly thinks this is going to go well for him.
He is miserable.
Probably is miserable. Misery loves company. And often, social media gives you that false sense of company. It's really the opposite of social. It actually isolates, not brings people together. But he feels like he has an audience who will listen. And too late, every single time, he thinks better of it. Gosh, I wish someone would take his phone from him, or at least convince him. Not today, Antonio. Not today. Please, not today. No doubt he's going to have to answer to league investigators about these tweets as well. You won't find anything nearly as interesting on my Twitter. I'll promise you that. You can find me, though, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, and we're going to get to your calls coming up next. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're morphing into a football Friday. Most of the nation is on board, excited for a big football weekend. What are you most excited about? I mean, naps on Saturday are good, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's third down and 12. They've got five in their secondary. Shotgun snap. Here's a three-man rush. He winds up and he throws a line drive down the middle. It's caught in stride, 25 to the 20, down to the 15, coming to the near side. Cooper to the 5, to the pylon, touchdown Dallas. What a throw, but what a run after the catch by Amari Cooper.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Have the Dallas Cowboys turned a corner now? Do they feel like they have hit their stride again after stubbing their toe a bit? I still absolutely love the Amari Cooper trade. So this time last year, he was just starting to get acclimated with the Cowboys, and what a difference it made with their entire offense. And I've said it before, I will say it again because I sound really smart. At the time, I said he's absolutely worth the first round pick. Now I say he might be worth 2 first round picks. So the Cowboys will host the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. It's another major measuring stick and gauge for the Dallas Cowboys. And what's been, I don't want to call it topsy-turvy, but it's had its peaks and its valleys, to be sure. So the Cowboys started out with 3 consecutive wins, but all against teams with losing records. In fact, the Redskins and the Dolphins, their wins are so hard to come by. But then they stubbed their toe against the Saints and the Packers and the Jets, which I still don't really understand. But back-to-back wins now inside the NFC East, and though it's not a healthy lead, they are on top of their division by a half game over the Eagles, who are also playing better football. Is that the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Edward, who's in Santa Clara. Welcome to After Hours.
Sorry. Yeah, just wanted to mention that, it's not the weekend, but it's Monday.
Yes.
I'm a Niners fan, and they're playing Seattle on Monday night.
Oh, no, it's part of the weekend. It's part of the football weekend, to be sure.
But the thing, too, is that Emmanuel Sanders is like the Amari Cooper deal that Dallas got, and it's looking really good for the Niners offense. And then you got Juice coming back, the best fullback in football right now, and also you got Joe Staley coming back. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game for both teams. And it's going to come down to the wire, I believe. Also because Quan Alexander is out for the season, he was a big part of our defense, Niner defense. So I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think between Seattle and the Niners.
Wait, who doesn't think it's going to be close?
Oh, well, I think that when Quan was in there, our defense was looking really good. We've got the guys that can sack the quarterback pretty good, but Quan Alexander was a big part of our defense. And, of course, Russell Wilson, he can always score from anywhere. It's going to be like when we played Arizona. Kyler Murray, he was going all over the place. And our sack pressure, they had a hard time catching up to the guy. So I think it'll be a lot closer, and I think it'll be a pretty exciting game on Monday.
I mean, I haven't heard anyone say that they thought it was going to be a really lopsided game. That seems silly considering what Russell Wilson and his offense are doing right now. And as you point out, the Niners gave up 25 points to the Arizona Cardinals in the desert, not in the Bay Area, going back to week number 9. So, yeah, I'm expecting it to be a game in which it's really tight simply because there's a lot of talented players and there's familiarity with these two teams, to be sure. So I'm looking forward to it. That, to me, is the marquee game of the NFL weekend.
And I look forward to also when they eventually play Green Bay and the Saints, especially the Saints. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, these are all great measuring sticks for a Niners team that is going through its first full season with Jimmy Garoppolo. And as you point out, the added Emmanuel Sanders. I actually made that comparison on Twitter last weekend that Emmanuel Sanders could be to the Niners offense what Amari Cooper was to Dallas when they traded for him. But I really like the commitment to the run game still as well. And we've talked about the defense extensively. So it's great to see Niners football restored to relevance at the very least.
Yeah, I just wish there wasn't so many injuries every year. And that's always hurt the Niners for the last 5 years.
I mean, that's part of the gig, though. You know that, Edward.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your phone call. Let's talk to Dan, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Amy.
Hey.
I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the undefeateds playing.
Mm-hmm.
One pro and four colleges. And the LSU, Alabama, I'm so forward-looking because Alabama hasn't played anyone, and LSU has. And then Minnesota and Penn State, and it's like, I'm intrigued by it. But in the pro, I have Monday off, so I get to watch that game.
That's awesome. So,
I'm only on 35 hours a week, so, I get a day off.
Well, that's good. Everyone deserves a day off, Dan.
Yeah, well, you get a couple of them, but I only get, here and there.
Mm.
But I am so looking forward to the LSU, Alabama, and the Penn State and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think Minnesota's going to win, and I think LSU's going to win.
All
and
right.
The teams that don't win in the college, I hope they keep them out. Because,
when you say keep them out, you mean you do not believe any teams that are not undefeated should be in the playoff.
Yeah, if they don't play a championship game, the conference championship game, I don't think they should be in the playoff.
What if there aren't four undefeated still remaining? Then what?
What's that? In college?
Yeah.
There's more than four.
I said remaining, as in at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, but this weekend, two of those teams in college are going to lose.
Exactly my point. Thank you, Dan.
Yep.
Okay. No, I mean, you're not alone when it comes to the conference championship argument. But in terms of the undefeateds, we may not have enough left. For instance, even if Penn State would win this weekend against Minnesota and hand the Golden Gophers their first loss, well, PSU still has to take on Ohio State. So one of those teams will end up with a loss for sure. You've talked about LSU, Alabama. I mean, there may not be enough undefeateds to fill out the college football playoff when we get to that point, which is why the selection committee is looking at all the minutiae as well. Dan, thanks so much for your phone call. Enjoy that day off of yours and all of the cool football. 855-212-4227. Do you like my self-control? I mean, you get a couple of days off. I only get one here or there. Oh, my gosh. One of my favorite things about people who are on the outside of the industry and don't really understand how this works is the ones that tell me, you have such a cushy job. You work 4 hours and you go home. Yes, it's a good point. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
No days off.
I talk about and watch sports for a living. So even if there are no days off, I still do have a job that I love, and I'm absolutely not complaining. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook. What's the game you're most looking forward to? We'll get that poll up, I promise, straight ahead. And we're taking your phone calls. If you want to talk college, if you want to talk pro, I love it. I'm all geeked up for football. I was going to say footballed up, but that sounds weird. I'm all oiled up for football. All I can think of right now is Taz from our morning show and how he told me he used to wear oil when he was doing pro wrestling. So, he's all oiled up. He's actually sick right now, but he's geeked up and I don't have anything to do with oil. Okay, it's a good time to take a break. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rivers has the snap. He's back to pass. Rivers looks, pumps, goes deep down the right side into double coverage. Intercepted by Carl Joseph. Joseph picks it off, and the Raiders will win.
That was an old school AFC West. A bloodbath, basically. Just two defenses playing out of their mind. We just found a way to win, And that says so much about our team. See, that we've had so many weeks now where we've been efficient, we're moving the chains, third down, all these kind of things. And then we we ran into you know, this team, and for whatever reason tonight, you know, it was just, you know, some nights are just tougher than others, right? You know what I'm saying? And this was one of those nights.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I absolutely know what you're saying, Derek Carr. I smell what you're stepping in. It was a gutty, gritty win for the Oakland Raiders. They are now above 500, which is fantastic considering what the last year has been like for these Raiders. They're just a game back of the Chiefs in the AFC West, though the Chiefs have yet to take their bye week, so that we'll see everything start to jive over the next couple of weeks as teams catch up or finally take their byes. That was a really good game on Thursday Night Football, and we've had some pretty compelling games on Thursday night to kick off the football weekend. But we've got some real, I think, interesting, intriguing, potentially impactful matchups this weekend. Now, I guess they could not be. They could end up being duds, but, you know, I try to be the optimist when it comes to my football. So we put up our Football Friday show poll. What's the matchup you're most looking forward to? And we have a surprise in there. So check it out on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. Let's see. We've got, trying to think about the schedule and the way that it breaks down. We've got more teams on bye this week than any other week. And it's kind of cool the way that it stacks up just in terms of the compelling matchups and the fact that they're national games. So we'll be able to watch them all together and come back Sunday night and then Monday night and discuss it. Talk amongst yourselves until then. Sunday, the NFL on CBS features the Chiefs taking on the Titans. We're still waiting to hear about Patrick Mahomes. Or an NFC encounter between the Lions and Bears in the NFC North. It all begins with JB and the guys on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS. 855-212-4227. Sean is listening in San Diego. Sean, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Amy. Can you hear me okay? I think, wait, let me, I'm on speakerphone, I think. Let me check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, hello, Amy. I just want to comment on the LSU-Alabama game and who I think is going to win and why.
I think
LSU is going to prevail, mainly because they've had a tougher schedule this year. And I just think that they are just really on top of the game as far as every position. I don't really see any weakness in the game. And I'm hoping they do, too, because I really don't like Alabama. I want to say this. I'm hoping, I'm really hoping that LSU does as well. As much as I don't like Alabama, I'm really hoping LSU does as well, too, because Ed Orgeron was at USC as an interim coach and also as one of the position coaches. And he got, I think, railroaded. I think he should have got the job at USC, but he was passed over. And after Kiffin, you know, he was interim coach, and then they hired Clay Helton. And so I feel that this is now his redemption, and I think he's done really well for the last few years he's been there. And I'm looking forward to him hopefully beating Alabama. One last thing I do want to say is this, is that right now, I've been a USC football fan for 45 years. USC just hired, but they have their president, whose name is Carol Folt. They hired her in, I think, June. And also, too, they have the new AD, who's Mike Bond. They both have ties to, major ties to Ohio, the state of Ohio. But Mr. Bond has major ties with Urban Meyer through coaches that he hired, such as Mr. Fickell over the University of Cincinnati, who was actually on the staff over at Ohio State for Urban Meyer and also played football at Ohio State. So look to have Urban Meyer hired by USC, and I'm hoping they do. So that's all I wanted to say.
Got it. Okay. Well, that would be quite a coup if he decides to return to college coaching. Sean, I appreciate your call from San Diego. Thanks so much for listening.
Especially that there's a lot of people pulling for him in terms of him going there and being the coach there. As a matter of fact, the president said that she's putting no restrictions on anybody who he decides to hire in terms of it's open for him to pick who he wants. And so I'm just thinking that it's going to happen, and I kind of hoping it does happen.
All right, Sean. Good to talk to you. Again, thanks so much for your phone call. Enjoy the football weekend. Listening on 97.3 The Fan in San Diego. Let's talk to Scott, who's in Boston. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
I'm telling you, I'm new to your show, but I love it. You're very, very, very informed. But here we go. I'm going to hit 2 points in about 40 seconds.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Antonio Brown is a disaster. Now, listen, say, oh, of course he is. Now, listen, here's the counter argument. I'll play devil's advocate. Oh, he grew up tough. He grew up rough. You know what? I grew up in the projects. But now he's a man, and I'm a man, and it's time to be a man, and he's not. He's acting like a little punk. Second point, Amy. This may be the year up here in Boston that all four sports teams win the championship.
Oh, my gosh. Scott, seriously?
Well, Amy, who's laughing? The Bruins have the best... The Bruins have the best record in the NHL. Uh-huh. The Celtics are the most talented team or capable. The Patriots, no, don't have to speak about them. Obviously, they're winning the Super Bowl. And then you got the Red Sox, who are coming off a tough season, but they're going to bounce back. You may see all four teams win the championship. And America, whoever's listening, you keep hating us. You hate us because you ain't us. Thank you, Amy.
Wait, so it's gone from the Patriots are going undefeated and winning the Super Bowl to now upping the ante, and now it's we could have all four New England teams winning championships in the same year. Hey, you know, it is a possibility. Every single year it's a possibility.
Erroneous!
Just the... I'm from New England, for those of you who don't know. I grew up in New Hampshire. That's my state. I am a native New Englander, and yet sometimes I do not know from whence the fans came. It's fine, though. I mean, it's a us-against-the-world mentality, and certainly it helps the fan base circle the wagons. It's
cool. You're all winners!
However, it has been somewhat humorous that not even one person amongst the hundreds who told me until Sunday night against the Ravens that the Patriots were going undefeated, I have not heard from one. Not one, except for Scott, who then didn't really want to remember that he misremembered. I mean, it makes me laugh. You know what? It's okay. The bravado is funny. It won't always be that way. It's been an embarrassment of riches for the New England fan base, and that's cool. It's great. There will be dark times, of course. And so, actually, I guess you could say, just looking back, I mean, it's better to be competitive for sure. But in addition to the successes, there have certainly been heartbreak. And I can think of two with the Bruins in just the last, since we've been here at this network, of course. But it's better to be in the Stanley Cup final than to not be there at all. The Celtics are an interesting case. They definitely have weaknesses, but it's been fun to see the start that they've had. Of course, last year they were a team that was highly favored and didn't live up to that. But I love, love, love the way that Gordon Hayward has come out of the gate. So Kemba Walker, cool story, great. But Gordon Hayward's worked pretty hard to get back to the point where he is full force. So there's a long way to go. But yes, it is a distinct possibility that all four could win championships in a calendar.
No, everyone thinks we suck.
I don't think that's the case, Tom Brady. But see, that's what I mean about the circle the wagons, us against the world. Yes, I'm absolutely laughing at you. But I can because I'm a New Englander, so it's fine. Bernie is listening in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Morning, Amy. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Even more amused now.
Okay.
Okay.
This discussion with Cam Newton, I'm surprised nobody has mentioned this team. I know a lot of people running different teams that he may go to. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Jameis Turnover is probably going to be gone at the end of the season because I'm pretty sure they're pretty done with him. He knows the division. He got Bruce Arians whispering in his ear. He's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. So everything's familiar with him. I think it's a great restart for him. So I just want to I'm just wondering what you think about that. And I'll just go ahead and hang up and listen.
Oh, okay. Bernie, thanks so much for your phone call. Appreciate you following along in Atlanta on 92.9 The Game. Which reminds me, before the top of the hour, don't let me forget to address those of you who are listening in Atlanta briefly. As for Cam Newton, well, there are two major hurdles here. Two that I know of, maybe more than that. The first hurdle is the Panthers have to be willing to let him go. We don't actually know that's the case, though a lot of people are speculating because of how he finished up last season and now this year essentially only playing a game and a half and not even playing them well. There's a lot of money that could be saved under the salary cap if Cam Newton gets cut or traded. So the $19.1 million is a huge savings. And they already have a Kyle Allen that they're comfortable with. We know that to be sure. Ron Rivera is a big fan of Kyle, and he's gotten him from the ground up, similar to Cam, and has been able to really work with him. And he's a game manager. He's different, but they've got an MVP candidate in Christian McCaffrey. The defense has been fantastic most of this last six games where they've won five. But I still say, and I've written this as well in my columns, a healthy Cam gives you a better chance to win. It just is a matter of what they want to do. And as one listener pointed out to me, and I thought this was a great point, a $21 million salary for a quarterback, which is what Cam would make next season, is actually really cheap, the going rate for QBs. They've got room under the salary cap. So maybe the Panthers decide they don't want to cut him or trade him. Now, the next hurdle, of course, is if they do decide to dangle him in a trade or to cut him, there are going to be multiple teams interested in his services. So from the Bucs' perspective, yes, I think Bruce Arians would be great for Cam Newton. Though, you know, we're not done seeing what he's doing with Jameis Winston. Winston's had great flashes. He just turns the ball over a ton. But if Cam Newton's available, there will be, I could even think of a half dozen teams that would be interested in his services. As long as he's healthy, he's still theoretically early in the prime of his career, just 30 years old. He'll be 31 for next season. I just want him to get healthy. And I think that probably has some bearing on the decision that the Panthers make. But I think there are at least a half dozen teams out there that could benefit from having a healthy Cam Newton, and the Buccaneers could end up being one of those as well. All right, we're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.